Please give me some help this morning. If you have a pencil or pen with you, take it out. And if you don't, there should be a pencil in the pew in front of you. I have two scriptural references I want to give you to write down. You can read them during Holy Communion or sometime later today, but I would ask as a brother in Christ that you read them at the very latest before the election. And those readings are Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. Romans 13, 1 through 7. And Acts 5, starting with verse 17 to the end of the chapter. I've combined All Saints' Day with asking God to help get us ready for the national election coming up. And that meant five Bible passages. We didn't want to put them all in the order of service. So if you can read them later, they will edify. Grace and peace to you this day from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is 2 days until the election. And I'm sorry to say there's been a lot of fighting and name-calling. There are a lot of people unhappy about the main choices for president. There are a lot of people afraid of where our country is headed. In some cases, families have been in conflict over the election, and friendships have been strained. Christianity's relationship with a secular society has always been complicated. Many sense that we are drifting away from basic laws and practices on which our country has been based. This has brought a great increase in tension. And it has raised many questions in the minds of Christians about their role in politics, elections, and the public arena. And I thought we might take a look at this today on the basis of some writings in the Holy Scriptures and also our Lutheran confessions. Some time ago, I became aware of Martin Luther's worldview of the situation that we are in. Luther taught that God rules the world through two realms, an earthly realm, which is called the kingdom of the left, and a spiritual realm, which is called the kingdom of the right. Now, please keep in mind, this is 500 years ago when he talked about this, and these are not meant as political terms as we use them today. They are meant as identification of two different kingdoms, much the same as if I referred to using my left hand or my right hand, that would not be making a political statement. And in such a viewpoint, the kingdom of the left refers to earthly governments in which God uses his law to curb evildoers. And this has a basis in Romans 13, which I hope you will read later on, along with other places. The problem is, secular rulers are used in the kingdom of the left. They may or may not be believers. They may or they may not be good rulers. But the government has a biblical right to try to maintain peace, law and order, and reasonable regulations. And when it is doing that, we are expected to be obedient. But keep in mind what Jesus once said about the worldly kingdom. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And in such a viewpoint, as Luther taught, the kingdom of the right is the Christian church, in which God utilizes gospel to forgive sins and bring people to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And God uses us to bring the kingdom of God to people. And there is, and there will probably always be, a tension here. For sometimes kings or governors or presidents or whatever kind of rulers are in power make laws or decrees or push agendas which are in conflict with God's laws. And members of the church need to be aware of these areas. And I have a responsibility as a pastor to make sure you are aware that there are some cases today that are of concern to us. Three of which I'm going to mention this morning. Number one, there is a conflict between abortion and God's law of thou shalt not kill. Number two, the more extreme advocates of same-sex marriage and related sexual practices, I'm talking about the more extreme members, want churches and pastors penalized if we are not willing to tolerate this in our churches. I've read the documents, people. And if they get their way, and there are three major bills before our United States Congress now, it could lead to the government attempting to censor what we are teaching and preaching from our pulpits and in our churches, which is based on the Old and New Testaments. Further, if the church these pass and the church does not cooperate, it could cause us to lose our tax-exempt status and possibly cripple our ministry. These are not the words of any political party. These are the words of the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Matthew Harrison. And three, some, not all, but some of our ministers and chaplains have been advised not to use the name of Jesus in certain situations, or they could face consequences. I have a responsibility to make sure you know this. So some people ask, what's happening to our freedom of religion and our freedom of speech? And this is a legitimate concern for Christians. What is a Christian to do in such circumstances? Well, let me start with what we believe Christians should not do. And I say we, I'm referring to our national church body. We believe that Christians should not bring politics and campaigns for individuals into the organized church. These things divide people. I know that some churches do, but as I understand the law, in some of these circumstances, they are actually breaking the law for religious nonprofit organizations. And I thank God that in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we are strongly advised against doing this. As I said, these things divide people. People don't all see them the same way. And within the body of Christ, within the church, with a specific mission, unity in a church body is super important. We must not be distracted or divided as we go about our vital mission of calling people to repentance and sharing the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, are candidates, politics, and elections important? Yes, they are. And decisions made in the kingdom or left, either good or bad, can affect our life and function as a Christian church. So we would be wise to be involved in the kingdom of the left. We should be informed, and we should join with people of like mind in the public arena to try and promote godly principles in politics and in government. Should we vote, even if we don't like the particular candidates? And our Lutheran radio station in Missouri has received a lot of questions like this. And their answer is, Dr. Harrison's answer and is my answer, yes, we should. We have a dual citizenship. Christians are members of kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right. It is a privilege for us to be allowed to elect our leaders. Much of the world does not have that privilege. We have a responsibility to elect those leaders whom we believe might serve us best. And if when voting we want to skip a particular race or office, we have the freedom to do so. But we should ask ourselves this question: how can I bring about positive change and influence elected officials and help decide important issues if I don't vote? Jesus, who died to pay the debt for our sins, calls us to be salt and light to a dying world. Those words are right after our gospel reading this morning. And it's hard to do that without carrying out our responsibilities in the kingdom of the left. Furthermore, the Bible tells us that we have plenty of biblical figures who have helped change the political environment of their day. Joseph, Moses, Deborah, Samuel, David, Nehemiah, Esther, Daniel, and others. We as Christians are called to be good Americans, to follow and obey our government as long as we are asked to do what does not violate the laws and commandments of our God. But if the government laws and commandments do violate what God has taught us, we need to take a stand. This is biblical also. When Peter and other apostles were commanded by the officials to not teach in Jesus' name, they replied, "We must obey God rather than men." And the result of that may be that we will be punished. We may be persecuted when we do this. Jesus addressed that in our gospel reading for the day when he said, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And I understand that probably none of us want to walk that road. I don't want to walk that road. But the followers of Jesus sometimes have to walk it. And if that is the case, He will give us the strength and make it up to us in the end. Today, we observe All Saints' Day. We remember those who have gone before us and how they served the Lord on this earth and the impact they made during their time on earth. This is our time. We should never forget that we are Christians first and Americans second. And while we can and we should work for positive change, in reality, we usually have to admit that political changes offer only band-aid solutions to the real problems in this world, because the real problems in this world have a spiritual basis. It will take Jesus to set everything straight, and when He comes again, He has promised to do just that. In the meantime, let's do what saints are called to do. Let's pray for God to be involved and guide the elections. And after the election, let us pray for our leaders, as we are told to do in the Scriptures. Let us stand up for what is right, but let us also be merciful as God has been merciful to us. Let us be slow to anger and realize people are watching our actions, and our actions often speak louder than words. Let us be the peacemakers. Jesus talks about Matthew 5, but not at the cost of compromising God's word. And let us remember our Lord's promise that whether it is sooner or later, we will be blessed. Jesus, lead us on. Amen.